Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This week on Rewind, your week in review, there's a familiar face in Wisconsin politics preparing a run for governor, Rebecca Clayfish. And taxpayers are on the hook for nearly $680,000 for Republicans' review of the 2020 election results. Plus, Republicans continue to question the vetting process of Afghan refugees at Fort McCoy. The message Governor Tony Evers has for those criticizing the screening process. All this and more on Rewind, your week in review for September 3rd.
Hi, I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
So, J.R., we had kind of a little announcement, but not a formal announcement, from former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. She basically is signaling that she is going to run for governor against Tony Evers. Herself and Representative John Mocco filed paperwork with the Wisconsin Ethics Commission to get the process going. Now, right now, she is currently serving, She was, as of this morning, serving as the president of the 1848 Project. Today, they released a statement that she's going to be stepping down, another sign that she is going to likely run for governor. But first, I wanted to start with her policy agenda, because this kind of gave us a framework of what her campaign might be about.
It looks like a campaign platform.
It looks exactly like a campaign platform. Some of those I'll just name off. It's hiring 1,000 police officers, banning vaccine mandates, giving lawmakers control over election rules, and prohibiting critical race theory. A lot of these are proposals that even some Republican lawmakers are efforting in the State House. We're seeing national efforts with critical race theory. So I guess what type of candidate are we seeing her as, even though she hasn't officially filed to run?
This is a checklist of the conservative to-do list right in the Capitol. And let's look, run down the checklist of what Clayfish has done so far. So she filed the paperwork. She has scheduled a special announcement on Thursday in Waukesha. She has released this 50-point plan, and now she's going to step down as the president of 1848 Project. Like, it's no secret she's going to run for governor. She's been positioning herself for a year and a half to run for governor. She created a PAC, Rebecca PAC, in 2020 to raise money and give campaign donations to Republican candidates for office, including state superintendent, the conservative candidate. She's done the 1848 Project. She has been at every single fundraiser, Eagle Scout ceremony, anything you can find where they want a public official or a former public official there, she's been there. She's laying the foundation to run. She is out front of the pack. Now, Mocco's interesting because he told me that he has filed the paperwork and he is going to put up, match $250,000 of donations to his exploratory effort to get it off the ground. So he's got maybe some money in the bank to do this. We're watching Bill McCashin, who is a longtime lobbyist. He is in the process of selling his business, his lobbying business, to then maybe run for governor. Kevin Nicholson has been out there on the campaign trail, well, on the policy trail, with no better friend, talking about conservative policies. They're all like making moves, but Clayfish is the farthest out there in terms of building a foundation, an infrastructure to run. And, you know, let's be honest, the 1848 Project was basically a campaign in waiting for her. This is a way to get her out in front of people and do stuff to travel the state. She is all but in. It'll be official next week. The question becomes, can she win? I'm talking to people this week. She's the front runner for the GOP nomination. The challenge becomes, can you beat Tony Evers next fall?
And also want to add, Wichman is also filed his candidacy for governor. Very as well known. But going back to Clayfish, I spoke to a UWM political science professor that we're going to hear from just a little bit about how she's aligning herself in front of others. And either she's, you know, a little bit of Trump conservative, but not over the top. So let's take a listen to what he had to say.
She's managed to sort of put together a kind of a platform that shows that she's a conservative, sort of a Trump conservative, but not an overboard Trump conservative. And I think that's what we're seeing in the kind of filings and position papers that she's releasing. And I think she has no choice, because when we've seen in previous elections recently, moderate Republicans, in other words, non-Trump Republicans, don't have much support within the primary voters in Wisconsin. And so it seems to me that if you want to be successful in the Republican Party in Wisconsin, you have to win the primary with the base, the Trump voters, And then you have to ever so slightly win the general election with those suburban moms.
So, JR, as you mentioned, she is expected to make an announcement, a special announcement. No big special surprise, I guess, for us reporters on Thursday. So I'm sure we'll talk more about that next week. Let's move on to this election audit. It seems like every week we talk about this. There's new developments. There's new costs. And now we're getting an actual breakdown of what that all this taxpayer money is going to go towards. So let's pull up the slide here. Assembly Republicans released their contract that is between Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. It will cost $767,000. That's their budget for this review of the 2020 election. A majority of that going to data analysis contractor. The other going five investigators. Gableman's salary, of course, is out there, outside legal counsel, and, quote, communications. Yes. Let's just start with the $325 earmarked for data analysis contractor. We're not getting too many details, but, I mean, what does that mean, right?
Well, Gableman will define what it means. So in speaking to Robin Voss last week, what he said was that he's basically giving Gableman the authority to define this review. Now, the buzzword in Republican circles has been forensic cyber audit. The question is, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. To Janelle Branchen, who was the chair of the Campaign Elections Committee, was doing her own investigation of 2020. It was about getting ballots and voting machines. We had the cyber ninjas out in Arizona, and their review, much maligned, what happened out in Maricopa County in Arizona. You have all kinds of people throwing out what they want. It's going to be Gableman's purview to say what that's going to be, and then to hire somebody to come in and help. Now, what's interesting is Reince Priebus, who's a former state national GOP chair, he was on Steve Bannon's show a week and a half ago talking about this and laying out kind of early details of what we now know is going to happen with this investigation. Really interesting development there. He talked about a Dr. Shiva, I think is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. Didn't use a last name, but somebody that same name was at the Mike Lindell's My Pillow Guy South Dakota symposium about like this conspiracy-laden review of the 2020 election. So we'll see who they bring in. But what's clear is Voss is trying to give Gableman the authority to review this election while also kind of cutting off Janelle Branchen. If you go back and look, there was a Robin Voss met with, it's called HOT Government, Open, Honest, Transparent Government, this group in Racine, and talked about what was going on with these audits. And they were peppering the questions about, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing an Arizona-style review? Why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you using Branchen's committee? Well, people tell me that what Voss is doing is basically taking the legs out from underneath of Janelle Branchen because she's one of the more passionate believers in the theory that the election was stolen in 2020, and putting this more into Gableman's hands, which he can kind of control more because Gableman reports to him.
He's got a lot of money to work with.
He said he will not sign, Voss will not sign Janelle Branchen's subpoenas. He will sign ones that Gableman wants. So he's also in this very difficult position of, you have a segment of the GOP base that unless you have these reviews result in criminal charges or overturning election results, they're not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. They're convinced the election was stolen. They'll never be happy unless you do those things. That's not going to happen out of what's going on here. So how does Robin Voss placate those folks? Now, looking down the road, the question becomes, what will those folks do next fall?
And that's what I was going to say, too. Mm-hmm. We saw this big rally just a few weeks ago outside the state capitol. I mean, hundreds of people, I would say. Mm-hmm. I was there. And a lot of signs that were targeting Robin Voss, that he wasn't doing enough and that Branchen wanted to step in, issue these subpoenas. We just got a new development, too, that the first Milwaukee County top election official is now saying, we're not going to follow these subpoenas. They think it's clear that without the signature of Robin Voss and the chief clerk, mm-hmm. that they're not valid. Yeah. So they're going to ignore those. And in order for those subpoenas to be valid, they need those two signatures. So we're seeing pushback from Milwaukee County that these are not going to go that far. And another interesting fact, we saw Ron Johnson being secretly recorded by, I guess, a fake conservative at maybe one of his events, saying, and basically Ron Johnson was saying there was nothing skewed about the 2020 elections. And he says that's what he's been saying all along, but that was a pretty powerful statement and clip that we watched this week.
Some Republicans are looking for cover in all this because when I talk to them, they're saying they're going to county party events and going back home and getting like peppered with questions about what's going on.
And why you're not doing enough.
Yes. And so I'm looking forward in 2022 is, are we going to see a lot of primaries of incumbent Republicans? Now, I've rarely seen mass primary efforts succeed. Usually you see like a high profile, like Glenn Grothman challenged Mary Panzer in 2004, then Majority Leader Mary Panzer in the Senate, then State Rep Glenn Grothman, now Congressman Glenn Grothman. So you see something like that, but not like a dozens and dozens of primaries. What I'm also wondering is, will we see more retirements than usual next fall? Because this is getting really intense for some Republicans because they feel like the genie's out of the bottle and they can't put that passion back in about what's going on with like the election and these claims of fraud and everything else. So is it worth it anymore? Well, if they retire, if they're big retirements, you open the door to the most passionate Trump supporters who believe the election was stolen, running and maybe winning primaries, and then making tougher than expected races next fall, or winning seats, which makes the Assembly Republican Caucus that much more difficult to manage in 2023. So you can see there's a lot of pitfalls going forward for Robin Voss. The question is, how does he land this plane with Gabelman? Can he placate the base, or this segment of the base, which looks unlikely unless, like I said, charges or an election, and how they govern going forward? It's really a fraught-laden situation for him.
And it will be curious what they eventually find, what actually comes out of this, because we know there was already recounts in Madison and Milwaukee County. We had multiple, numerous lawsuits that were turned down in the courts that were filed by Trump and his allies. And then you have other Republicans who are just kind of nitpicking what they think the problems were. You know, we heard Ron Johnson say nothing was skewed about them. He noted that Republicans collectively got more votes in other offices, like legislative offices. And his issue is something that we hear often from Robin Voss, is that they have the problems with the absentee ballots and these events like Madison Democracy in the Park, where they had election officials collect these ballots. So it will be certainly interesting what they do find.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I've said all along in talking to people, you could have a rational conversation, did the Elections Commission exceed its authority in telling local clerks they could fill in this information, absentee ballot envelopes, right? So you mail in your absentee ballot, a witness is missing his or her zip code, for example, right? Is that allowed? I don't know, I'm not a lawyer. Do we need to have the laws tighten up about who can claim indefinitely confined status? Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Those are administrative things. That's not what's fueling a lot of these folks who believe there's a conspiracy against Donald Trump, right? And the conversation you could have about absentee ballot envelopes or indefinitely confined voters, we're not having that conversation in a rational way. It is, that train's left the station. So what I'm watching is, will this become a rallying cry for Republicans next fall and drive their base to turn out, or will that base be depressed because there's no, again, you know, results they want? And for Democrats, it becomes a rallying cry as well, because you can say, look, if you don't have Tony Evers in office in January of 23, this is coming down the pipe. Texas, Florida, Georgia, all these election changes, they're coming to Wisconsin.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We just talked about Clayfish before here. Once she does make her announcement, that's going to be a lot of questions for Republican candidates of whether or not they believe the election was stolen or not, or what investigation or what type of style that they support. Because Democrats across the board, you know, they've been on the same, I guess, song for a while, that they fully believe Joe Biden won the election. All right, let's move on to a topic I think we're going to continuously, sadly, talk about. But as we go into this Labor Day weekend, health officials are sounding the alarm to be careful, take precautions because of this new COVID surge and the new Delta variant. There's even another variant that's coming out of this. So like I mentioned, their big message this week, get vaccinated, wear a mask, and avoid indoor gatherings over this Labor Day weekend. The 7-day average as of Wednesday was extremely high. It was the highest since January. So here we are, even people, you know, getting vaccines, having the ability to get vaccines. It was just a few weeks ago the FDA fully approved the Pfizer vaccination. Governor Evers just announced he's going to be extending his $100 giveaway, you should say, or reward initiative to get people to go get the shot. So with all of this coming down, I mean, we're once again in this war over masks. We're seeing school boards fight over it. But there's not really an end in sight right now, and a lot of kids going back to school.
No, and a week ago, hours after we finished the show, the state Supreme Court refused to take a direct action on a challenge to Dane County's mask mandate. So the conservative Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty had filed this challenge, asking the court to take the case directly without going through the lower courts first. It said no. Didn't say why, but the courts indicated it doesn't like doing that on procedural grounds. They like to go through the lower courts first. We have developments on the mask mandate with UW.
I was just going to bring that
Steve
up, yeah.
Nass. What's happening, though, is you're seeing fatigue about masks. So I was told by people this week that places like Dane County, you can get away with municipality putting a mask mandate back in place. Racine is putting one back in place. I think it takes effect Saturday.
Saturday or Sunday weekend. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're not seeing them in conservative areas because they're done with COVID, or COVID's not done with us. So the question becomes, how do you rein this in? Because politically, it's a problem. This is driving some of the dip in Joe Biden's numbers. I know Afghanistan is a huge problem for him. But if you look, kind of dig through some of these polls, COVID is a bigger, it may be a bigger issue and a more lasting issue because things on the international scene seem to fade from voters' memories. If longer COVID's around, the tougher it's going to be for Joe Biden. Tougher is for Joe Biden, the worse is for Democrats in 2022 because this is maybe going to be a lingering issue for him because he ran on getting control of the pandemic.
Right, and getting shots in arms. Yes. And, you know, I even saw some national articles, too, how Joe Biden really wants to get past this Afghanistan thing and focus back on COVID. Yeah, it doesn't look so great with him on paper, with the statistics and these rising surges. Almost everywhere is a hot spot at this point.
New job numbers today were not great.
Yeah.
Driven probably by COVID and people being afraid to go fly, go out, that kind of stuff. It's, mm-hmm. It impacts everything with the economy, which is a huge driver in elections.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to do bring up the UW developments, too, because now we have the second Republican lawmaker, Senator Robert Crowles of Green Bay, also says he doesn't support filing a legal challenge against UW, who this is all goes back to Senator Steve Noss. His committee passed this motion that would require the UW system to submit their COVID policies. Either they can accept them or deny them. Tommy Thompson last week says, basically, screw you. I'm not going to follow it. And last week, we had another top Republican, Representative Jim Steinke, that you talked to, who also criticized the effort. So they're just not for tying the UW's hands during this not-so-great time. I mean, the surge is unreal right now.
Yeah, so legislature can initiate lawsuits through a couple different methods. One's the Joint Committee on Legislative Organization. Steinke's a member of that committee. It's a 6-4 GOP majority. If Steinke's a no, everybody else votes yes, it's 5-5. You also have the Senate Org, Senate Organization Committee. That can initiate a lawsuit on its own. Noss is going to ask both Voss and Lemahieu to initiate a lawsuit. Well, Voss would be part of it with JCLO, most likely. That's not going to happen. Lemahieu's in the position of what's he going to do? The Senate Republicans caucused this week. Cole said, I'm not in favor of it. Would they go forward anyway, initiate a lawsuit? We're watching to see, is there enough support behind Steve Noss's challenge with what he wants to do? And it's going to be interesting. Also, Steve Noss called his colleagues soft yesterday yeah. after this news broke that Cole said,
they're
I don't want to do
in
this.
They're caving in a sense, yeah.
So Noss is very much representative of the ardent anti-mask, anti-lockdown, anti-COVID measures wing of the Republican Party, which those folks have been unhappy about masks since last fall, when Republicans weren't challenging Tony Evers about his mask mandate back then. So there's a split in the Republican Party right now, and we'll see how that plays out.
And it's a development with Senator Andre Jacques. His wife actually released a statement. He's been hospitalized with COVID, yeah. was put on a ventilator. His wife even had a very powerful statement this week saying, please entrust what your doctor's advice is, you know, urging that maybe you should go get the vaccine because of what happened to her husband. I do just want to touch quickly base. There is a new leader at the Wisconsin Education Association Council. It's the state's largest teacher union. This is another group that is calling for teachers and staff to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's hear what she had to say.
At the Wisconsin Education Association Council, we put our full support behind our Safe and Healthy Schools plan. We want educators to be masked, vaccinated, and following recommendations of scientists and medical professionals. We believe that all school safety decisions related to the pandemic should be driven by science and should include the input of our educators in the classroom. We believe that all students and educators and adults in school buildings should be required to wear a mask. And we believe that all teachers, education support professionals, adults in the building, and eligible students should be vaccinated. We care deeply about our students, and we absolutely want them to be safe and learning in person for this upcoming year. And we know the best way to make sure that happens is to require masks, vaccinations, and follow the recommendations of scientists and medical professionals.
So we just heard from Peggy, the new president of WEAC, there. And it's we've also, throughout the weeks, too, a lot of school boards, very powerful statements from school boards just going at it when it comes to sending their kids back with masks or not. And I think that's going to be a reality until the rest of the school year as administrators have these really tough calls to make, either to keep their schools opened or close them. We've already saw Milwaukee public schools, a few of them have to shut down due to COVID cases, and they actually just started. So also a new development in Governor Evers' cabinet, the tourism secretary, Ann Sayers, correct? her interim tag was lifted, so now she is the acting tourism secretary. And this, you know, of course she gets the title, but she's got to have the confirmation from the Senate, and this just goes into a wide variety of faces and of state agencies that have still not been confirmed by the Senate. And, I mean, JR, I guess the prediction here is, are any of them even going to get called for a vote?
Unlikely. It's a really unusual situation because usually governors, they get elected, they announce their cabinet picks in like December and January.
First week.
Then they're confirmed immediately. What's happened here, the backstory is, remember, with the lame duck 2018 December session, Republicans had confirmed a bunch of people appointed by then-Governor Scott Walker. There was a Dane County decision that's rescinded those confirmations. In that window, Governor Evers tried to replace a lot of those folks. Well, he rescinded their appointments and then reappointed some of them on his own while also trying to take away other appointments. That not sit with Republicans. So you add in the lame duck session fight, that whole thing, it just delayed confirming his cabinet picks. And then as the first year of his administration progressed, Republicans weren't happy with the performance of someone like Brad Paff, who was DATCAP secretary, and he was fired. So we have the situation where, like a Craig Thompson at Transportation, he's been voted out of committee twice, 5-0, and he can't get on the floor of the state
Senate. And he's a familiar face. I mean, he was a longtime lobbyist, and the lawmakers know him pretty well, the ones that have been around. So,
but you've got Republicans unhappy because he was former member of the road-building industry. Yeah. And the backstory there is, in 2018, there were a number of Republican Senate candidates who were targeted with these issue ads, that were funded, they believe, by road builders. And so that didn't sit well with some Republicans like then Joyner Scott Fitzgerald. So Thompson's got that strike against him. Others, Amy Pekacek, who was appointed to replace Caleb Frostman, who Evers basically fired as DWD secretary because of the whole debacle with unemployment insurance. Republicans aren't happy now about UI that's not been fixed in their minds, so that's being held against her. Missy Hughes over at Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, she's not been confirmed. I mean,
the list goes
half
on
dozen.
And on. Yeah.
Now we're at the point, though, where we're a year and 2 months away from the election. So what's the incentive of Republicans to confirm these folks? If you're not confirmed, you still serve. It's all the power, so you get paid the same as you would if you had been confirmed. What's the point of doing it? Because there are, with almost everyone of these nominees, there is a segment of the Republican base unhappy for some reason. Now, one exception might be Randy Romanski, DATCAP secretary, appointed to replace Brad Paff. He's been around forever.
Forever, yeah.
He's been in numerous agency positions. I was a secretary of DATCAP under Jim Doyle briefly after then Rod Nicholson, secretary then Rod Nicholson, passed away in a drowning incident. I mean, but there's just no incentive for Republicans to do this because they're at war with Tony Evers. So,
I was just going to say, it's adding on to this continuous fight ever since, even before Evers got into
total
office,
insider
like you said,
baseball,
during the lame duck session.
Total insider baseball, but it illustrates how dysfunctional the Capitol has become in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. All right, our last topic for the show this week is Fort McCoy. Some of the newest developments there, I'll just spit off some numbers before we get into the politics, I guess, of Fort McCoy, is that a spokesperson told me this week there's now 7,000 Afghan refugees temporarily being housed there. Now they're preparing to support a total of 13,000 refugees, and that number was previously 10,000. So I even spoke to some organizations how they're just rapidly trying to make this military base into a community, into a welcoming environment for these refugees, because they're going to be there for a little bit over a month or two before they get resettled. These social service agencies are saying that, you know, it's going to be a while. Like I said, maybe about 2 months they're going to be there. Then there's only going to be a select few that will be resettled in Wisconsin. You know, there's this misconception that all these people are going to stay here. That's actually not the fact. But this goes into Republicans concerned. All of Wisconsin's Republican delegation has now visited Fort McCoy. Many of them are expressing concerns over the vetting, the screening process of how these refugees are being identified. Governor Evers had a pretty powerful statement of how he felt about that. We're first going to hear from Congressman Tom Tifity, who is just one of the several Republicans really questioning where these Afghan refugees are going to go and how they're being identified. Let's take a listen.
I am reluctant with the current makeup of this administration and with Department of Homeland Security Director Mayorkas in charge of DHS, as well as what the State Department is doing. Are they doing a thorough vetting? Because we cannot have terror imported into the United States here. We have to be very careful at this point. I have talked to soldiers who served in, that are from the 7th Congressional District that said, we want to see those Afghans come here who have helped us when we were in Afghanistan for 20 years. But we have to make sure that the bad guys like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban do not embed people into the refugees and send them here to America.
The vetting process starts outside of the United States. It continues inside of the United States. It continues at Fort McCoy and other resettlement areas. I'm confident that the vetting process is in order. You know, it's when I hear a Republican talk about that, either they're vastly uninformed or they like to raise that specter of maybe some of those little kids that I saw at Fort McCoy are terrorists, or maybe those adults that I saw at Fort McCoy who were working hand in hand with our soldiers and airmen Afghanistan, somehow they are terrorists, even though they've been vetted four, five, six times, even before they left Afghanistan. To me, it's dog whistle crap, and we don't need any of that.
So as you just heard, Governor Evers saying Republicans are vastly uninformed about how this process works, but this is just feeding into this political feud about how rapid the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan was and how quickly these people are being transported all across the country. Just another political fight that we're probably likely is going to pan out for the next several weeks.
Yeah, there's an interesting split in the Republican Party about how to address the refugee situation. You see some who are questioning the vetting process and making a big stink about what this could mean, and the others going, hey, these are folks who worked with us, who helped us. We have a moral responsibility to them. It'll be interesting to watch how that plays out.
All right, and JR, let's get into Wisconsin or Wiz poll stocks. We haven't had them for a while, but some very interesting ones.
Yeah, so first one, tax collections. We've had an unprecedented run of good news from the Fiscal Bureau in terms of tax collections. They did a preliminary look at the 2021 fiscal year, last year, the last budget. In June, they talked about unprecedented revenue collections. They added $319 million more to that projection just this week from looking at a couple of things. One, some more corporate tax collection numbers came in, some better handle on sales tax collections. So what's it mean? Well, we're so far above where we thought we were going to be when the budget was signed, that 1920 budget was signed July of 19, that there's going to be $967 million in change going to the rainy day fund. That pushes that balance to $1.7 billion. And in 2009-10, it was $1.7 million. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? Well, there's an automatic trigger in state law that if you have excess revenue growth, half it goes to the rainy day fund until you hit 5% of appropriations. We are now at 9% of appropriations in the rainy day fund. So going forward, all the extra money that comes in, if the good news continues, can be spent to put toward tax cuts. Now, the question becomes, what happens to this money? Because there's a lot of it sitting there right now.
There's a lot.
The issue is if you spend more, which Republicans don't want to do, if you spend more on, let's say,
transportation.
Yeah, using GPR, you have to spend more on education because there's a federal requirement to qualify for the stimulus funds that you keep your ratio of spending on education the same to keep eligible for that money. Tax cuts? Well, Republicans gambled in the last budget, or this current budget, doing a tax cut that they thought Evers would never sign. He signed
did.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to run on it next fall.
Of course, and so take credit for it.
Yeah. So I'm not going to do another tax cut, so that money's just going to sit there. the question becomes, what do you do with it? Well, Evers is going to bang the drum on education funding. He already called a special session, gaveled in, gaveled out very quickly to spend more money on education. So likely it's going to sit there, and we see what happens in 2022. If there's a new governor in January 23, Republicans have a lot of money to do a lot of big stuff with. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you see the same fight probably played again of Governor Evers and Republican lawmakers going over to education, Medicaid, et cetera, down the line.
And mixed, we got Wisconsin hemp producers turning over the regulation to the feds.
Yeah, so the program that was created, they basically had these fees on producers to fund the DACA program. There was a deficit of $450,000 projected for the fiscal year ending June 30th. One option is double fees on processors, or producers, I'm sorry. Otherwise, turn over to the feds. Well, they're turning over to the feds. What's that mean? Well, one thing, it could be delay in services. There are no fees. So it's kind of a mixed bag for them. And really the bottom line is the hemp industry, which we thought was going to take off in Wisconsin, kind of hasn't.
It hasn't. It's not. I've done a lot of hemp stories, visited a lot of hemp farms too, and a lot of people are, it was filled with excitement, so many applications, and you can just see each year the applications were going down, and saw a dramatic drop during, not dramatic, but a lot less.
I think like it was 45% down in 21 growing season. It could have been
right.
COVID. You know, you don't know. We'll see what bounces back. The bottom line is it's not taking off. There are questions with the CBD industry and how much of a potential is there, so it's just not great right now.
And the CBD market is very saturated. Yeah. And then falling, Wisconsin births.
Yeah, so we actually had not a good thing happen in 2020. Where we had death exceed births in Wisconsin. Now, we still had population growth because of immigration, but it's troubling when you have this crossing of the lines of births and deaths. Now, this group had projected it would happen in 2026. We are a graying state. Mm-hmm. All right, we have been for a long time, but it was sped up by COVID. There's all kinds of political implications because the fewer people you have, the fewer congressional seats you get. You know, the more people you have who are older, the more your costs are for Medicaid. I mean, they're all, we have fewer people to fill jobs. I mean, job employers right now are saying we have all these jobs to fill and nobody to fill them. Well, the less population growth you have, the more that issue is exacerbated. No, by the way, those employers someday go elsewhere where there are people to fill the jobs. So it's not a good trend. Fingers crossed it reverses, but it's been on a downward burst in deaths being like this for a while, and they crossed the line in 2020.
Right. All right. Well, that's for the show. But before we go, I just want to greet our audience here and let you know that I have accepted the hosting position here to sit down with JR each week on Friday. So we hope you continue to join us, and I'm really looking forward to working with this great team.
Oh, great. And by the way, I haven't chased off hosts, right?
That's not been JR. Okay. Not at all. I'm here to stay. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you next week. I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm JR Ross.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.